Now I'd like you to meet folk guitarist Frank Hamilton. He spent more than 60 years as a musician and an instructor. Hamilton co-founded the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago in 1957, and he opened a second school right here in Atlanta last October. Frank and his students will perform at the Decatur Book Festival on Sunday. Last year, I spoke with Frank Hamilton about his half century of experience. He began by sharing a story that might explain the age-old Southern term, hootenanny.
Bob Miller was a publisher-songwriter in the early days of the 30s, and he had a song called Hootenanny, 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 Hoot. And that particular song apparently did something to stimulate the use of the term hootenanny. But a hootenanny is a thing in a bob or a thumb in a jig. It's something that you kind of can't define exactly what it is. But it became known for being associated with a folk music concert. But Pete Seeger was the one who really popularized the term hootenanny because he thought that songs should be for the audience, for the people, and that the people should participate as part of the concert. In other words, break down the wall between performer and audience. That was very important in folk music.
And so it becomes like a party. A hootenanny almost suggests that you're not just having a concert, you're having a party.
That's right. Or it could be just a visit. And, you know, they in Ireland, they have the term ceilidh, which means a visit. And you come by to somebody's house on a Sunday and you sit around and you sing and you play music. And this could be on the back porch or the front porch of an Appalachian home where people would come to visit and they would bring out their guitars and banjos and sing the old ballads and songs. And you didn't have a feeling that there was a performer and an audience. It was the two were kind of intermingled so that the performers became part of the audience and vice versa.
I'll tell you why this interests me. It's because it's almost as though that style of performing, that's what you bring to your style of teaching.
That's exactly right. The way I envision teaching is that a teacher is a facilitator in our school. It's a school of community, and the student can learn as much from his fellow students as he can from the teachers. So the teacher is really a facilitator to make things happen and to educate people. But the teacher is also a student because he's part of the community.
Okay, so what kind of banjo are you teaching them? Do they have to get finger picks and they start playing bluegrass? What kind of banjo do they learn?
Well, bluegrass is a Johnny come lately because
we're really getting controversial.
That's right. String band music has been around for a long time. It's accompanied dances forever, particularly up in the Appalachian areas where they have the big circle dance. And this is accompanied by fiddles, banjos, guitars, etc. So the banjo I teach is a traditional five-string banjo. And it's the one that's been around the longest, probably coming from Africa, which originated with the slave trade bringing it over to these plantations in the South. The thing about the banjo is it's evolved as kind of a truly American instrument, but based on African roots. And without the African slaves bringing it over, it wouldn't have existed.
So I want to play you these clips. One of our producers visited your school, and we wanted to kind of give the listeners a sense of what it's like to learn there. So if you're actually in Frank Hamilton's class and you're walking around, this is what you may have heard. We start with your class here.
Here's a G to a D. All right. Let's try it. One, two, three, begin. Sing along while you're playing. Here we go. Well, one and two and three.
This land is your land.
Concept behind this sort of communal learning, because obviously there's many styles of teaching people. What's the benefits of teaching someone in a group as opposed to sitting down one-on-one with a student?
Well, the student can measure his progress, his or her progress, by his next-door neighbor, the student who is studying with them. So if there's somebody more, a little more advanced, that student gets a perspective on how to acquire the skills that it would take for them to become more like an advanced student.
Okay, so let's go back, but prior to the opening of your schools,
okay,
to your early days in folk music.
All right.
As I understand it, and you can tell me if this is an apocryphal story,
okay,
it's said that you actually hitchhiked through all 48 of the 48 states, the continental 48 states, trying to find folk songs. A, is that true, and why?
Well, it's partially true. What happened was I hitchhiked across country to go to New York from Los Angeles, and I put my my pajamas and my toothbrush in my guitar case and hitched across the country, met my friend Guy Carawan. And Guy Carawan and I, and we ran into Ramblin' Jack Elliott, and the three of us took off through the South because we wanted to hear the music done by the people who actually brought it forth, the people in the indigenous cultures who spawned this music. So we filled up the old Buick and played on the street corner, busking, what they call it, so that we could raise enough money to fill the gas tank to go to the next town.
I think this might be hard for the current generation, which you could think of as the Google generation, to mm-hmm. understand how difficult it was to find these original songs in the days that you're talking about. This isn't something that you could just put in the search terms and find the original tune.
That's correct. That's exactly right. We had to really unearth these tunes. We had to really dig hard to get them. In fact, when I first learned the banjo and the guitar, I had to hunt around for people who could play this kind of music so that I could learn from them. It wasn't on the net at all.
So we have a little bit more time left, and I just wanted to ask you, you've decided after this legendary career, and I highly recommend people Google your career and listen to some of your music to see how legendary you are, but you're finally opening a second school, and it's in Atlanta, known for hip-hop recently. Why Atlanta?
Well, Atlanta has the demographics that I think that would support this eventually. It's not as quite as sophisticated as Chicago, but it has elements that will probably bring it into that particular realm eventually. Atlanta has a history of folk music, and it's sort of ingrained in the culture. People, in a way, are very embarrassed by it, some of the people from Atlanta, because they think it's déclassé or it's not worth much. But it's in here, and it's in the culture, and it's in the Southern community. And what we're doing is helping to bring that out.
That was folk artist Frank Hamilton. He runs a folk music school in the Atlanta neighborhood of Candler Park. The Decatur Book Festival will feature a performance by Frank and students on Sunday. And before he left, Frank played us a tune on his trusty guitar. Take a listen.
In the squares of the city, by the shadow of the steeple, at the relief office, I saw my people. They were broke and hungry. I stood there wondering, is this land made?